You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes, why did it have to be snakes?
Vices? We don't need no vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. If you're listening to us on the go, you can catch us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and anywhere else you can get your podcasts. As always, I am one of your hosts, Sean, and with me in the studio is the other host, and his name is Paul. Paul, how are you today?
The other host. The other guy. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, it's been
a
while.
And you, other guy, this really nice Plank Man t-shirt.
There you go.
There it is.
Say, we just finished off an episode of Multiverse, had a good time with that one, and now we're here doing our cinematic for the next week. And I think we got a good one we're going to talk about, but we're gonna delve into the news first.
The news.
So, Paul, you just witnessed something that's 40 years in the making. Would you like to tell us what you just watched?
No, I'm just kidding. Yes, they released, at time of recording, they released last week the first teaser for Mel Brooks' History of the World Part 2.
What?
What?
Wait, was Hitler on Ice in it?
No Hitler on Ice.
Jews in Space?
Not that we saw.
A Viking funeral.
I hope so.
Wow.
Well, don't forget, this is a four-day mini-series sort of thing on Hulu. Which in itself is wild. Like, that's where we're at. But, yeah.
I don't know if any major studio would have paid for this.
I don't know. What was the last thing Mel Brooks did?
As a director?
Yeah.
Dracula Dead and Loving It in 1995.
And then he's just been producer and stuff.
Well, he's been Broadway.
Yeah.
He did the producers in Young Frankenstein on Broadway. And really, I think he's written a couple books. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much he actually is involved in this. I'm sure he helped write it, but I don't think he's directing it. He's almost like 95 years old.
He's up there. It's going to be a bad day. It's going
to
be a bad day.
You know what? Obviously, I'm looking forward to it. I'm not expecting much. I'm really not. Mm-hmm. Like, the original History of the World Part 1 to me is one of those movies where it is just so over the top crude.
Oh yeah.
That I love it.
Oh my god.
And I just don't know how crazy. I mean, crude back then
is very different.
Was different than the way crude is now. So I'm wondering how crazy this movie's gonna be, how much he was involved in it.
Stacked cast.
Oh, absolutely, stacked cast. And but again, like, Are they just gonna attack every single moment in history? I don't know. So we'll obviously talk about it after we watch it, and we'll give our thoughts and stuff. I don't know if we'll do a whole episode on it, but
might be able to. Who knows? We did a whole episode on History of the World.
We did do an episode on History of the World Part 1, and we enjoyed that. So I just thought that was fun. That and it came out of left field. Like, I had not read anywhere that they were doing that. So definitely interested.
Because right now we only have about 2 months before it comes out.
Yeah, pretty much. Beginning of March. So we're about a month and a half away. Other than that, on the news level, we had the Golden Globe Awards that were on this past week. And some notable winners. Steven Spielberg took home Best Director for his film The Fablemans. Fablemans also won Best Picture for Best Drama Picture. One of the best, Austin Butler, won for Elvis.
Yeah, and he did the entire speech in the Elvis voice.
Which people are freaking out about, which I don't understand. It's probably hard for him to, you know, get rid of the voice. I don't know. Sad news, though, that Lisa Marie Presley passed away.
She was there, too.
She was there, too.
And I remember we watched the speech, and even Melanie was like, she doesn't look good.
Yeah, so that was very sad that happened, like, literally 2 days later.
Yeah.
Leo won for
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
And as well as Ke Huy Quan. And that speech.
Speech got me, man.
He was. And the fact that Spielberg was in the room and he got to acknowledge him, that's what award shows are to
yes.
me. That speech encompasses everything you want in an acceptance speech.
Oh, it was really
like,
good.
He thought his career was pretty much over. I mean, he really hadn't done anything since the 90s.
Yeah.
I never knew that was him in Encino Man. Did you know that was him in Encino Man?
I did not.
I And then the fact that him and Brendan Fraser are both nominated in the same year for
and
awards.
Even, like, even crazier, Brendan Fraser's going through his renaissance right now.
Absolutely.
Like,
I mean, he's a front runner possibly for an Oscar as well. So it's crazy.
For The Whale, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've heard it's very good. Very.
Yep. Sadie Sink's in it.
Plays his daughter, I think.
I believe so, yes. And it's Darren Aronofsky, guy who did Black Swan.
Oh, God, Black Swan. I know Black Swan.
Yeah, of course you know Black Swan. Yeah. We all actually went to see that in theaters. Which...
Oh, yeah, we did. Oh, yeah, we did. But, yeah, I was looking at, how do you say his name? Ki-Hwa Kwan,
I believe.
Yeah, like, he did very little. He moved a lot into more of the behind-the-scenes stuff.
The scenes,
a lot of assistant director. But, yeah, he's going to be in Loki. Season 2.
Oh, really? Okay.
Apparently, like, after that movie, everything... Did you see it?
Me and Kate were literally going to watch it yesterday, but it was not available on Amazon, and we didn't want to pay for it.
I will tell you, it's worth it.
It's worth it?
It
okay.
Is, I watched it on a plane.
Oh, really?
During one of our trips this past... So, I think it was probably Italy, because I had plenty of time to watch it. But sitting there watching it, I was, like, enthralled. Like, it's weird in a good way. Like, it's a very cool concept and just very... That's A23 is the company, and they always do really good stuff. Like, or A24, excuse me. A24 is the distribution company. I like independent films, though. Like, they don't have to worry so much about, you know, what the big studios want and things like that. They
just
kind
of
do their own
independence
thing.
And then they're never expected to make that much money. So when an independent movie comes out and just... absolutely takes off, it's always fun to watch, because movie with a budget of, like, you know, 15-20 mil, and it makes like 10 times that amount. Like, My Big Fat Greek Wedding was a perfect example of that. That movie came out, I think that movie's budget was like 10 million. I think they think broke like 300 mil.
Yeah,
and that was like 2001.
Like Paranormal Activity
is another one. So it's always great to see the independent films really receive the due that they deserve. Because they don't have the backing that a big studio movie has with advertising and all that stuff. So,
right. This company also did Moonlight.
Moonlight's a Best Picture winner. Yeah. So they've had success.
Hereditary, that one was huge for a while.
Yeah, and it was surprising, because you had that one. Everything that Once was nominated for Best Picture. The Fablemans.
Bless you.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
Not editing it out.
That's all right. And then you had obviously the big one, Avatar. Was nominated again for Best Picture for the Golden Globes. I don't think it won anything.
Still haven't seen it.
No, I want to see it.
I know, I want to go see it. I want to go see it in actual.
I remember when the first Avatar came out, I think that thing swept like the Golden Globes.
Oh, probably.
And then didn't really win anything in the Oscars. That was the Hurt Locker year.
Oh, that's right. Interesting.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, otherwise it was a good award show.
It was a good award show.
Who hosted it?
Jared Carmichael.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't watch it. At all. I just watched the clips of the acceptance speeches afterwards. So I was interested in that. And so that was about it for the news. So we're going to dive into the movie of the day. And Paul and I were going back and forth on this, because for any of you who listens to both podcasts, Us and Multiverse, we just did an episode on the original Teenage Ninja Turtle film franchise. And we were struggling. We were like, well, we could do that for Cinematic, or we could do it for Multiverse. But we came up with a movie for Cinematic that I was willing to part ways with, the Teenage Ninja Turtle movies for Cinematic. And
you still got to record both of them.
I know, but still. I'm just saying, I think it's better for Cinematic that we talk about, non Marvel or DC movies.
It's a comic book movie. I don't make the rules. I just made the rules.
Okay.
Wait a second.
Yeah, sure. All right. And we are talking today about 1997's Men in Black.
And just the original.
The original. Because we feel like, we can talk a while on this movie. And I'm looking forward to this, Paul. How about you?
I'm here. that is my...
Wow. Way to sound so disinterested. Guys, we recorded the episode I care most about already. Now I'm just here to look pretty.
I just want to play Call of Duty.
I'm kidding.
No, yes. I am excited. I do enjoy
Melody.
This movie. Yay. Cut it out. She's actually going to come down here. No, I did enjoy this movie, and I think it still holds up both as part of a series and also as a standalone film.
Yeah.
Like, they could have ended it at the end of this.
Absolutely. And it was a solid 5 years before they did the sequel. It wasn't like one of those where it's like the next year you came out with, Men in Black 2.
I didn't think that they were expecting that this movie was going to take off the way that it did.
No, but you have to, I would think... It's produced by Steven Spielberg. It's starring Tommy Lee Jones, who is a well-respected actor, and Will Smith coming off arguably like the biggest blockbuster of, you know, the last while in Independence Day. And he's like the hot name in Hollywood right now. You have to assume it's going to make some money unless it's just god awful.
Well, it's funny because Will Smith was not the first choice to play Sanjay. Really? Yeah, we'll go through that when we go through the cast.
Oh, good little tidbit there.
Yeah, yeah, just whetting everybody's appetite.
So we're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, we're going to delve into the cast and the production of Men in Black, and we will be right back.
Hey guys, it's Paul, and the Misfit Faction is looking for your help. We are trying to grow not only our network, but also grow our brands. And the best way to do that is if you guys are looking to start your very own podcast. Maybe you guys have been listening to us for a while. Maybe it's something you guys have always wanted to do, but you're not sure how to get started. If you go to podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys will get a month of free podcasting on set as a gift from us. So make sure if you guys are looking to start your own show, you reach out to us and go to podbean.com/misfitfaction. Also, maybe you guys have your own online business or service. You're always looking to grow, and advertising is a very big part of that. If you guys go to sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys can get $100 worth of free advertising, again, as a thank you from us to you guys. That's sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction.
And we're back, and we are going to be talking about the 1997 science fiction action comedy Men in Black, directed by Barry Sonnenfeld, who, you know, is an underrated director, and he has done some really good movies. He started off as a cinematographer. He did a lot of the Coen Brothers movies of the 80s and early 90s, and he's the director of one of my favorites, the Addams Family movies. I love the first two Addams Family movies.
Oh, yeah.
I just think they're so well done. And he's a very, I wouldn't call him like a Tim Burton-esque, but he's kind of got that like dark kind of feel to him.
The music in this movie really lends to that.
Danny Elfman.
Yeah.
That may be why I kind of go with that. But even with Addams Family, he kind of had a Tim Burton-ish feel to it. But that's the Addams Family, so I mean, really can't think here. But do you have, excuse me, do you have any recollections of this movie when it first came out? Like, were you excited for it? Did you really not know much about it?
I didn't really know too much about it. I mean, this was like around the same time, though. You know,
so we're 10.
When did Independence Day come out? What year?
Summer of 96. So like, so this was literally like, the next year.
This was when Will Smith was like Will Smith.
He chose two summer blockbuster movies,
like, and he killed it.
And he killed both of them. I mean, you know, I think I saw somewhere, I don't know if it was a documentary or it was an interview with someone, and someone said Will Smith was the smartest in terms of shaping his career, because he chose movies that he knew would do well at the box office.
Right.
You know, and what do you, you know, you do a star-studded alien disaster film, and then you do not as, you know, expected to be as much of a hit, but you team up with Tommy Lee Jones, a Steven Spielberg in the producer's chair. You know, it'd be very shocking if this movie didn't successfully make its money.
But then he turned down Neo in The Matrix.
Yeah, that's crazy. But, I mean, though, honestly, would the movie have been any better?
No.
I mean,
I think Keanu Reeves killed it.
Yeah, it would have been fine.
Did you hear Matt Damon turn down the role of Jake?
Yes, and he turned down, like, I think Cameron offered him, like,
10% of the gross.
So, yeah, he apparently won't let it go. And James Cameron's just like, dude, let it go.
Oh, man. Well, he would have made, like...
He's rich enough as it is.
I know, but still, $300 million or something like that?
Something like that.
Something crazy.
Yeah, he would have killed. I mean, already, the second one's already past the billion mark as well.
Yeah.
So,
James Cameron just has a cult devoted to him.
I think James Cameron doesn't get the respect he deserves, in my opinion, but he's also a little bit full of himself.
That's oh, yeah.
Another thing. So, he's not the easiest guy to like, but I think his movies are fantastic.
Oh, yeah. You can't even deny that.
But I remember this movie. I believe this movie came out on Memorial Day of 97.
July 2nd.
July. Oh, wow. It's the day before my birthday.
Happy birthday, Sean.
Thank you. I remember seeing, because I did not see Independence Day in theaters. My parents did not take me to see that. So,
this was
the first Will Smith movie I saw in theaters, and I remember the old Jefferson Valley movie theater that we went to see it, and classic. I remember honestly not really caring for it as much as a kid when I first saw it. The movie grew on me as I got older. I think when the second one came out is when I really started watching this movie again and really liking it more and more. It didn't, maybe I just, maybe, I think, honestly, I think the Vincent D'Onofrio character really kind of like creep me out.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, I don't know if I want to watch that again.
Well, this movie shifts its tones pretty quick.
Yeah, it's funny, but then it could also get kind of a little over the top scary, and you know, it deals with, you know, really crazy, you know, villain in terms of, you know, will just do anything just to find what he's looking for. I love the opening scene. I don't know about you. Where you're following the bug during the credits, and you're like, what is this? Is this have to do with the movie? And is it just...
And it just gets hit.
It just gets, just runs into the windshield, and that's it. And you're like,
oh.
Okay. What was the point of that?
Weird flex, but okay.
And then we get to just a guy driving a van, and he gets pulled over on the road, and he's obviously carrying illegal immigrants over the border. So he gets stopped by Border Patrol, and... You know, they come out of the car, and then all of a sudden, you know, Tommy Lee Jones pulls up with his original partner, D, and they just kind of take over the investigation, and they take one guy away. Turns out it's an alien in disguise.
Yeah, it's awesome. Mikey. Which,
it just, you know, it's the funny, you know, when you hear the word illegal alien, and you're like, okay, we're going to take it and make it an actual alien, you know.
Yeah, they don't mince words in this movie. No, like they are pretty funny. Do you want to go through the cast first before we continue on? So we have Tommy Lee Jones as Kevin Brown, aka Agent K. We find out his name's Kevin in the next movie.
Yes.
But, you know, he's grizzled, he's been there for a while, he's the do nothing. Or not the do nothing, excuse me. He's like, you know, the guy that's been around the block so many times and just originally the studio wanted Clint Eastwood for the part. But Jones took it after Steven Spielberg promised that he would improve the script.
Yeah, because apparently I guess Jones had known about the comic book and was like, this isn't the tone of the original comic book. I want more like that, and I'll do it.
Yeah.
So,
but also, Steven Spielberg carries so much clout that when he's doing a project, everybody's like, I trust you.
Pretty much. Yeah.
You got Will Smith as James Darrell Edwards III, a.k.a. Agent J.
And this is where they were at that time, that he's not... Tommy Lee Jones got first billing in this movie.
Yeah. And then I think it changed.
Oh, it changed in the second one, absolutely.
Yeah.
Will Smith definitely got first billing in the second one.
But,
it's definitely a Will Smith movie, the second one and the third one.
But apparently he was... especially the third one. We'll talk about that at some point. But apparently Barry Sonnenfeld's wife was a fan of The Fresh Prince and liked him in Six Degrees of Separation. Apparently the studio originally wanted Chris O'Donnell, who had just played Dick Grayson in Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, crap. And Spielberg told Sonnenfeld to take him to dinner to convince him to do it. But said that Sonnenfeld got him to not accept the role by saying that he was not a good director and that the script was the one O'Donnell could skip.
David Schwimmer also turned down the part?
Yep.
Wow.
That's, yep. But eventually, goes to Will Smith.
This is one of those roles where I don't think you could picture anyone else in the roles of either character. I think both Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith were perfect.
I think Chris Hemsworth would be a really good...
Stop it.
We got Linda Fiorentino as Dr. Laurel Weaver, or Agent L, who...
I like her in this movie because she's just got that voice is like... what am I looking for? She believes... You know, obviously that there are aliens, but she keeps getting her mind erased.
You ever flashy thing me, Kay?
I'm serious, Kay. Do you ever flashy thing me?
I think I should be in charge of the best is when he goes to do it again and Jay doesn't have his glasses on. He just puts them against his face.
Will you stop that?
He's going to give him a brain kick. And she's like, hasn't heard it before.
Yeah.
She's like, wait, what?
How many times have you scared that poor woman?
Yeah. But she joins the organization and then she's casually written out. In the sequel.
She wanted to go back to the morgue. Right.
Vincent D'Onofrio is Edgar the Bug. Yo, he was terrifying in this.
He was terrifying in this. I mean, that scene where he pulls his skin and goes,
is that better?
Yeah. Vincent D'Onofrio is just fantastic in anything he does. I mean, really is.
Well, John Turturro and Bruce Campbell both were offered the roles, but they both turned them down due to scheduling conflicts.
Bruce Campbell would have been interesting.
I could see that.
I don't know, John Turturro really don't see that, but Vincent D'Onofrio was... so good in this one. He really was. I mean, he almost stole the movie. That's how good he was.
Oh, yeah.
Being in that makeup.
Especially considering he doesn't interact with the main characters very often.
Until the very end, yeah.
Just really. In the scene in the morgue.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And then at the end when they shoot down the ship and stuff like that. Rip Torn.
As Zed.
He's just a trip.
I love him.
He really is. I mean, not as much in the first one, but in the second one, they make him a little more stupider.
Yeah. I love the scene in the second one where he does like all the flips and the kicks and all that stuff.
You can tell it's not him.
It's just wire work. But yeah, like in this.
Zed? Can I be Agent M?
I can be Agent M. We have Tony Shalhoub as Jack Jeebs, who comes back in the second one, but not the third one.
No, he's not in the third one, but yeah, he has a funny moment in the second one. I love that.
The scene of his head growing back still holds up.
Oh, yeah.
Shockingly
one. In the first one, definitely. In the second one, it's a little more wanky, but in the first one, it's just so good. And then the look on Will Smith's face is...
awesome. Let's see. And then that's the main cast.
I mean, pretty much, yeah. I mean, nothing else really crazy.
Let's talk, though, really quick since we're here. Now, there is this part in the movie where they have basically everybody who are known aliens on a screen. And yeah. I'm going to go through this entire list. Al Roker, Isaac Mizrahi, Danny DeVito, director Barry Sonnenfeld, Chloe Sonnenfeld, Sylvester Stallone, Dionne Warwick, Newt Gingrich, Anthony Robbins, George Lucas, and executive producer Steven Spielberg. All aliens.
That was great.
Oh, God. And then, of course, Agent Chase, like...
Oh, it's like third grade teacher.
Miss Edelson, actually. Jupiter, really.
Jupiter.
Or one of the moons. Wait, what? It's such a great line. I love that. But that's the cast. And then obviously, you know, you got Frank the Pug. You got the Rosenberg alien. But those are your main players. So it's not a big cast.
No. I mean, the two big ones, obviously, are Tommy Lee and Will Smith and Vincent D'Onofrio. And you know, that's about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of all small players after that. So the movie is loosely based on Lowell Cunningham and Sandy Carruthers' comic book, The Men in Black. The rights to the comic book were bought back in 1992. And, you know, they wanted Barry Sonnenfeld as the director because he did The Addams Family and the sequel, but he was doing Get Shorty at the time, so they instead approached another director. That fell through, and then John Landis and Quentin Tarantino were asked, but they declined. Why John Landis would decline anything, I never know, because, you know, can't, you know, just...
He'll do anything.
Yeah, he'll do anything at this point.
Yep. But yeah.
It's after initial script drafts were set, they decided to change. Apparently, New York City was not the original location.
Yeah, they wanted like Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. and some like Ohio's and Kentucky's and weird. But it makes sense to do it in New York City because like
it fits.
It fits so well.
And I love the whole notion of the World's Fair.
Was just built a cover around, up.
Was a cover up for
the flying saucers. The
flying saucers landing and stuff like that. So, you know, obviously at the end when
Why else would we hold it in Queens?
It's so true. When they shoot the ship down over Shea Stadium.
Oh, yeah. It's still one of your favorites.
I love it. And then they kind of go back to it in the third one where it's like really tied into like the 69 World Series with the moon landing and stuff like that. So it's really, really interesting. You know, I like the old New York that they go to in the third one and stuff like that. So that one's good.
All right. So let's go through this plot really quick.
There we go.
We won't go too crazy. So as Sean mentioned, it starts off with... you know, an illegal alien raid, basically, at a border checkpoint. And agents K and D show up, and they are part of INS Division 13. Everything is Division 13. Like, NYPD Division 13. INS. Like, that's their thing. And, unfortunately, one of the Border Patrol agents, who is butthurt that, you know, he lost his jurisdiction, sees that there is an alien there. And Mikey's effects hold up pretty well.
Yeah.
For the most part. It helps that it's at nighttime, I think. But the head on the stick. So... Mikey goes to attack this Border Patrol agent, and D freezes. Like, he fumbles with his gun, like, he gets pushed to the ground, because he's old. He's, like, in his probably 60s or 70s.
Late 60s.
And Tommy Lee Jones was young at the time. He's in his 50s, probably.
Maybe even late 40s.
Maybe late 40s. I don't know. It's before the House Bunny. Or not the House Bunny. Man of the House. Man of the House. But Kay's able to shoot him, and, you know, that's when we get introduced to a lot of their stuff. Like, they have space guns, they have the neuralizer they're introduced to. And basically, D decides he's not fit for the job anymore and he's going to retire. And when they get retired, they get neuralized. So now he's got this old man wandering in the desert, not sure who he is. All right, cool. Cool.
I never thought of it that way.
Get in the car.
We
couldn't go back to the office? But anyway, so they jump cuts to NYPD officer James Darrell Edwards, and he's chasing after a perp. And it's a great scene. I don't really like chase scenes too much. I don't know why. Especially car chase scenes. They don't always, like, interest
depends
me.
Depends on the car chase
scene. Yeah. But this is a fun... Like, he's basically chasing this guy who's doing all these, like, big jumps. And, like, he's unnaturally athletic. And, like, you know, obviously... They say on foot, but he uses the truck. Don't even remember.
Well, yeah, but... Yeah. No, you're right.
So he catches up to this guy who pulls some sort of alien weaponry on him. Knocks it out of his hands and it explodes. It just kind of disappears. Now, this is the one scene that when I was a kid, I didn't like because it was a jump scare. You know, I like jump scares where...
Oh, where he jumps up.
And he's crawling up. Yeah. And then, he blinks an unusual set of eyes.
Your world's going to end.
And then his eyes blink sideways. And then he kills himself. Like, that's that tone shift that I'm talking about. Like, this movie goes through it a few times, but it gets, like, dark. And that's...
Yeah,
that's rough to watch.
Well, there's a great little nod to that chase when, you know, he's at MIB train, you know, with the interview, And Zed's like going to Kay, he's like, what are you seeing this kid? And he goes, he ran down, I don't know what he called.
A cephalopod.
It's like, that is, you know, really good.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was just fun that they went back to that. It's like, oh, this guy's got it. You know, you will find out later in later movies, though, that there was a, you know, I think Kay had his eyes set on him from the beginning, but.
Yeah, they retconned that whole thing. Yeah. But so Kay takes Jay out of the interview room. And, like, we also get, like, you know, Laurel makes her appearance there.
Yeah.
You know, the neuralizer, all that stuff. And Kay's like, could you identify that weapon? Because the guy that he's chasing also says that there is, that somebody's coming. That's worse. So, and it's like the world's going to end and all that. So they go to Jack Jeeves' place, and this is where we, like, you know, get the shot of him blowing up his head and, you know, all, like, all sorts of stuff. And, like, Jay's like, what the hell? What's going on? But he does get neuralized. I always forget that Kay neuralizes him.
Yes, because he doesn't want, you know.
Well, he can't, they're not allowed to know until they're actually recruited, which they talk about in the next movie. Where it's like, you know, all civilians or all witnesses have to be neuralized afterwards because technically he's a witness. But he gives him a card. He's like, yo, be here tomorrow, 9 a.m. And it is my favorite thing in the whole world when he comes rolling in like his tracksuit, like, you know, looking so 90s. And all of these other guys are there, like
uniforms.
Your boy Captain America over here. The best of the best of the best, sir, with honors. He's just really excited to be here and he has no clue what's going on. It's such a. And again, I think, and you see Kay watching and he's smiling at that. Like he wanted Jay just because Jay was capable. He was a good person, but at the same time, like he recognized the bullcrap.
Yeah.
And the best is him pulling the table over as they're all trying to figure out how to write this test.
Oh, and then like the pencil breaks and the one guy, the pencil goes through the paper because nobody knows how to write apparently on their name.
I know. It's just a very awkward situation. But, and then of course we have the shooting range.
Yes.
So they cut to, part of his interview is a shooting gallery. And it's like all these different aliens and monsters and they're all doing things. And Jay lights up an 8-year-old girl.
Bullet right through the head.
Right between the eyes. And Zed's like, why?
It's like, what happened, Edwards? Froze, sir.
Hesitated, sir.
Hesitated, sir. Like, well,
can you tell us why little Susie deserved to die? Well, she was the only one that seemed like a threat. And he actually explains it all, too.
He's like, this one had a tissue. I mean, how would I
he's
feel?
He's not snarling. He's sneezing. You
know, this guy's doing some lifts. How would I feel if somebody came to the gym and capped my ass?
I saw little Tiffany, you know, white girl, middle of the ghetto.
And she's got, like,
bunch of aliens.
Physics books.
Quantum physics books.
She's up to a little no good.
And then the best is, and to be honest, I'd appreciate if you'd ease off my back about it. Or do I owe her an apology? And so they decide,
Will Smith. Like, I can't imagine that was in the script.
No. But they decide that they want to recruit him. And they erase all the memories of everybody else. And Kay explains to him, like, the whole thing. Like, back in the 60s, this is what happened. You know, we were a little made fun of organization. I think in the cartoon, they do more with that, too. With, like, all that backstory with Kay and the flowers and all that stuff.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think so. I don't remember. Because I remember the TV show. It was very loosely attached.
Vaguely remember.
But so they recruit Jay, and he decides that he's, and you know, we get your montage, you get him with the ball that goes flying around everywhere. Yeah. The last suit you'll ever wear. And then the second one again.
Yeah.
But, and he's recruited, and he is given his.
They burn his fingerprints off.
Like, I'm surprised they don't do anything with his teeth or anything like that.
They delete his, you know, social security number and all that stuff. I mean, which I find just like. They make it sound like he's vanished off the face of the earth. In a way, yes, but there are people who will remember him.
They did that in the cartoon. They had like a former girlfriend run into him on the streets, and like, you know, they had to neuralize her. Like, so they do address it, but I can't imagine just uplifting your entire life like that.
If you have no one, you know, around you, like if you're not obviously married to anybody, like you find out Kay, you know, he was with somebody when this all happened, so like he never got to explain to her what happened and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but like if you're by yourself, I get it. But you see, obviously, later in the movies that he's in a way regretted it.
Yeah,
you know, but he doesn't fully on it. But you know.
But then we have an alien spaceship lands. Where is it? In upstate New York, killing a farmer named Edgar. Right, and Edgar's a terrible person. He beats his wife. He's just like not a good guy, and so. This bug takes over his body and his skin.
And it's like a little too big, you know, the bug is too big to fit into the skin. So he's like doing these like twitches and stuff like that. Is. I mean, like, it is so well, his performance is so good.
Very underrated.
Very underrated. And the makeup is just
on point.
Yeah.
So this bug takes his truck and he leaves. Or no, he takes the exterminator's truck.
Exterminator's truck, because the exterminator shows up the next day. He's like, you got an infestation here. And he just jams the pipe with the poison down his throat.
I mean, yeah, it's, again, there's a tone shift.
It's a tone shift. And there's, you know, in the restaurant where he folds the guy in half.
Yeah. So we get them to start, they start investigating, because apparently the way that Kay finds out information is through the hot sheets.
Yes.
You know, the supermarket tabloids and all that, like your National Enquirer. These are the
hot sheets? Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, this is where you find it.
Try the Post. They get lucky once in a while. And they find an interview by the woman wife. Who says that an alien stole her husband's skin. Yeah. So they go up there and they determine that it's a bug, that it's a giant cockroach-like alien.
I don't know the exact words, but remember when he goes, you know what, this and this and this is, and he goes, oh yeah, that was on Final Jeopardy last night. He's giving him the finger as he's saying it.
Yep. So we also have the scene of the alien birth.
Yes.
Which is still hilarious. You're doing great, Slick. But, and we find out the bug is tracking two other aliens called Aquilians? Aquarian? Something like that. The Age of Aquarius? Arkillian. There it is. Found it. So they're after these Arkillians. Sean lost it. I got him with that one. Got him. Got him good.
Age of Aquarius.
There it is. Yep. Still got to do that movie. But so they track it to a jewelry store, and that's when Jay gets his first gun. The noisy cricket.
Nah, okay, like, come on, man. You know, like,
you get the Series 4 deatomizer. Yeah, I get this little midget cricket. And he's like, whoa. It's still hilarious.
And when he shoots it for the first time, he's like, ah.
And that was like the running joke. But then he gives it to Jay or Kay in the second movie, and Kay doesn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, because Kay doesn't have a problem with anything. Yeah.
But it's funny because in the show, they gave him the noisy cricket, and that was the running gag that he would get thrown back. But like, I think in season 2, they gave him a silencer for it, but the silencer's like this big. For those of you guys who cannot see my hands, it's like a foot-long silencer.
It's like a shotgun length.
On top of the little noisy cricket. But and we get some great scenes, you know, like, you know, Jay tries to shoot the guy, and he's like, we don't do that in public. And he's like, we don't have time for this cover-up stuff. There's always, like, and then, like Kay says, there's always something going on.
Yeah.
But the only way people don't panic is because they don't know about it. Fair.
Absolutely fair.
And they manage to get his ship. Now, I'm hoping I'm not jumping around too much.
No, the two aliens that he kills in the restaurant, they are taken to the morgue where Linda Fiorentino is, and she is noticing
that they have no internal organs.
No internal organs, which she's like, do you notice that? And he goes, oh, yeah, you know, everything's good. He goes, no, there's nothing there.
Yeah. And the cat comes with.
That's right.
The cat Orion comes with.
So
they manage to open up one of the bodies, and there's an alien inside, and he is of the royal family. And he's like, oh, war. To prevent war, the galaxy's on Orion's belt. Yeah.
And then I love Tommy Lee Jones. He's like, oh, this guy was a member of the royal family. They're not going to be happy with this. He's just so, like, normal about it.
So blasé about it. Yeah. So they try and figure out where this galaxy is. They go to their informant, Frank the Pug, who give it a whole new role in the second movie.
Yeah.
It's so weird. But and then we find out that the galaxy is actually a small orb on Orion, the cat's
belt, and it's collar. Literally an actual galaxy.
Yeah, and we also have the bug figures it out too. So he goes over there, he kills the guy
David Cross,
who's appears
actually
in
the second one as well. Yeah,
hey mom, still one of the best.
Want some little pizza bagels? You know,
she's got cerebral palsy, so she puts a little too much on sometimes. Anywho,
so bad,
but. They have their first encounter with the bug, who kidnaps Laurel and gets the galaxy.
And gets the galaxy. The
cat is not harmed.
I love how you have to say that.
Everybody, just be aware: the cat is
The cat is okay. Nothing happens to the cat.
Yeah, but the Arkillians are like, we're going to destroy the galaxy.
We're
going to
destroy Earth because it has it on there. We would rather destroy Earth than have this bug have our galaxy. So they end up chasing the bug to
Queens
to
because all other transports are locked down. And the best is, you're taking the tunnel? You know a better way to get to Queens? That thing's going to be packed. And they do.
You see that little red button? Push the little red button.
And you may want to put on a seatbelt.
Somebody want to tell me what the little red button does?
Well, even better, you get your best look at his terribly done stunt double, who is white, and Will Smith is black. But they zoom in on this stunt double's ankle at one point, and it's you can see because his pant leg is lifted up, and it's just white. Like, what? You do know Elvis is dead, right? Elvis is not dead. He just went home. Yep. But they manage to get there, and just as the bug is taken off in one of the ships, because there are two.
Yeah.
I think Laurel's putting up, like, too much of a fight, so he drops her.
Drops her.
And she lands in a tree. Yeah. And she's okay. But
they shoot it up over a Shea Stadium, which was great.
Oh, such a great scene.
And the thing, you know, crash lands right in front of him. There's that great scene where they're standing, and the thing is just coming at them, and he's like, okay.
Yeah. But, the bug gets out, and we get to see him in all of his glory. He rips off the Edgar suit, and it's still pretty good. Yeah. It's definitely CGI.
And then it's all CGI, the bug. I mean, there's nothing practical about that bug at all.
No.
But it still looks good.
Yeah. Eats their guns.
Eats the guns, and then he eats Kay.
Swallows him whole.
And, like, you're like, but they would cut to, like, him in there, so you knew he wasn't dead.
Yeah, so Kay had to know that the bugs eat their food whole.
Yeah.
Because imagine if he just took one bite.
Seriously.
So Jay manages to goad the alien by first he tries to fight him. Yeah. There's only one way off this planet, baby, and that's through me. Poof! It just knocks him down.
Ah. But he just no, and then finally he steps on a cockroach, and the bug, you know, stops dead. And it's like, so he
Jay's so ready?
Like,
you ready? The American Humane Society had to make sure that no animals were hurt during filming, including cockroaches. Will Smith actually was crushing mustard packets, and at the end of the day, they had to count all the roaches to make sure none were missing. Oh yeah, the American Humane Society, they don't play around.
God.
But yeah, so then by the Jay distracts him enough that Kay finds his gun, blows him in half.
Doesn't do it all.
Yeah. And you see him skulking in the background. Yeah. I never noticed, like, as a kid.
No, I noticed that. And then he had the little one last jump scare and just another, and then more ooze and slime all over them.
Do you know what I love about giant guns like this? And they do it in both movies. They don't aim them. They just have them down, like, by their hip.
Yeah.
And they just fire them. And I'm like, I don't think that works that way. You should probably look at what you're shooting. But yeah, so then Laurel saves them, and Kay determines, he's like, hey, I wasn't looking for a partner. I was looking for a replacement.
Oh.
And he's like, you know, you're ready. Like, it's time for me to retire. So he retires. We get a nice montage of all the things that just happened, like, on the tabloids. Yeah. And then the last one is that guy wakes up from 40-year coma, reunited with his, you know, the love of his life, or 35 years. Laurel joins MIB as Agent L, and we find out that our entire galaxy is just in a marble that aliens are using to play games.
That's right. And then they do something like that in the second one, too.
Yeah, where they do lockers. Yeah. We're in somebody else's locker.
So Men in Black grossed a worldwide total of $589 million. It would hold the record for being the highest grossing Sony film until it was surpassed by Spider-Man 5 years later in 2002.
And a budget of just shy of $100 million? That's pretty good. Five times their budget.
So this is interesting. Despite its grosses, the writer has said that Sony claims the film has never turned a profit.
Wait, what?
Which is attributed to Hollywood accounting.
What?
I don't know how that's possible.
Well, Ray-Ban, their like revenue like quadrupled after this movie. Same thing with the cell phones in The Matrix. Yeah. Like the one that opened.
I remember my fifth grade spring concert. We sang the Men in Black song, and so all the guys got up on stage and did the Men in Black dance.
All right, so let's address that while we're here. This movie still has one of the best theme songs of all time. The Men in Black theme song is still iconic.
I think the Wild Wild West song is much better.
That's fair. Are you being serious? Or?
No, not at all.
I love the Wild Wild West theme song.
Oh, God, no.
But this is also the time... I actually liked the second one, the Nod Your Head one. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was too bad, and it's very, like... It's a little bit more aggressive and a little bit faster. But the Men in Black theme song is still...
It's so catchy.
It's so catchy.
Big Willie style.
All in it. Getting jiggy with it.
Getting jiggy with it.
This was the height, though, of all that stuff. Like him, you would hear it on the radio.
Oh, Z100.
When's the last time you heard
it? It was My Heart Will Go On or Men in Black.
Yeah. So it's very rare that a movie soundtrack like gets so popular that they play it. Like, Disney won't let you because of royalties and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But like everyone's... Like The Shallows... From
Star Is Born?
Yeah, that was on the radio a lot. But
yeah, I mean, that's Lady Gaga. She's going to let that stuff play.
Yeah, but it's...
That song was catchy, man. That song really... The music video was great, too.
Oh, yeah.
Where it had the...
Mikey,
but he lip syncs to the female.
Yeah, it's still so good. And I miss Will Smith music. That was a big thing for the third one, that he didn't do the theme song.
Yeah.
And I remember we were all a little like, oh... It sucks.
He doesn't really sing anymore. Like
he... No, he hasn't done music. That's why for Aladdin, that was like the only time, the last time I heard him sing. And even that, he was doing more of his rap stuff. But... Yeah, anything else about Men in Black you want to talk about?
No, just that it would obviously, I mean, the movie came out in 97. It would be 5 years before they did the sequel in Men in Black 2, which we'll discuss at a future time. Because that's a solid movie in its own, I believe. I think that was a worthy sequel. I enjoyed it very much. Even the third one is definitely the lowest of the three, but...
Still a good time.
Still a good time. Like, when it's on TV...
I'll throw it on.
I'll throw it on. James Brolin is just... Is
and the fact that he was only like 10 years younger
Josh
than,
Brolin, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
It's just great. As young Kay. I mean, he really just hits it right out of the park.
But the only thing watching that movie is just that Tommy Lee Jones looks so old in that movie.
He does at the end, yeah. It's just like, well, in the beginning too, but he's
just so tired.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, that's all I got for Men in Black.
Yeah, no, that was good. That was good. Did we have a fan feedback Friday?
Yeah, it's best comedy movies. We have, let's see, yes, greatest comedy movies ever. We have Ace Ventura, we have Airplane, It's a Mad, Mad World, Animal House, and Young Frankenstein were the top of the list.
Well, you said three greatest comedies. I love how the first two only gave us
I don't
want to
talk
option.
About it. I'm just going to take what we got, all right?
Just, you know.
I just made a list.
You should really talk to those two people and be all like...
All right, so if you guys want more of our content... Such a jerk.
I'm sorry, you know, like, what do you want from me?
Apparently three movies. That's what I wanted.
Apparently three movies.
Sean delivered. But anyway, so if you guys want more of our content or you want to participate in Fan Feedback Friday, you can go to our website, themisfitfaction.com, or find us on any social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. Just type in either Cinematic Adventures or The Misfit Faction, and odds are you'll find some of our stuff.
Odds are good.
Odds are good.
Odds are always good. But this was fun, as always, and as all...
You got
fun
this.
As always.
Yeah, yeah.
As always, I am Sean, I think.
And I am Paul, definitely.
And hope you have a good one.
Here comes Men in Black.